This is the Well-Being Report on WDIY, discussing the vital conditions for health and well-being in the Lehigh Valley. Featuring WDIY's Margaret McConnell and Dr. Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. Now, here's Margaret and Samantha.
Good evening and welcome to the Wellbeing Report. I'm the co-host of this program, Margaret McConnell, the executive director here at WDIY. This program is brought to you by Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health and explores vital conditions essential for people and communities to thrive. My co-host, as always, is Samantha Schock. She's the executive director for the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. Hello.
Hi, good to be here.
Yeah, so throughout 2026, this show has been focusing on belonging, civic muscle in action, the relationships, trust, and shared responsibility that help communities stay healthy, resilient, and connected.
Yes, and today we're going to be talking about a piece of belonging that we have not yet gotten to talk about, where they have been cultivating a sense of belonging for generations, faith-based communities. Places of worship often are anchors in the neighborhood, and they are places where residents have experienced purpose, connection, and support.
Yeah, and so this is one area of belonging we really haven't spent much time on.
Not at all.
But churches and other faith-based institutions are a place where people learn how to show up for others. They're gathering spaces. It's mutual, where you receive mutual aid. You develop leadership skills and civic engagement.
And to explore this, we're joined today by four pastors who have served in Allentown for many years and who I am lucky enough to work alongside. The four co-pastors of Ripple Church, Pastor Charlene, Pastor Angela, Pastor Danilo, and Pastor Maritza, who are helping to reimagine what faith-based communities can look like through radical hospitality, community-centered ministry, and deep relationships across generations.
Welcome to the Wellbeing Report.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. All right, so before we talk about Ripple, specifically, I'd love to start with you as leaders, as human beings. Can each of you share a bit about what drew you to ministry and how you see the role of faith-based communities in building a sense of belonging in neighborhoods? And I'm drawn to the gold on you, so I'm going to start with you.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been a part of the church all of my life. Raised in church, took my turns in the wrong direction. I think it was in 2001, I opened a nail salon. And the first person that walked in the door was a young lady who was pregnant and talking about getting an abortion. And I remember sitting there and telling her that this baby was a gift from God. And it seemed like everybody that walked in the door of that salon had a story to tell. And I could feel God drawing me. And me saying, no, Lord, this is a business.
I'm doing nails.
Yeah, I'm doing nails, right. And so that is where I was drawn to ministry, to this ministry in community. The way I see the role of faith-based communities in community is that faith has always been a part of community. And so it has been those faith communities that have always held communities together. And so that's how I see the role continuing even today.
Pastor Marissa, can you add to that?
Yeah.
What drew you? Go ahead.
I'd have to start with my Aunt Lucy in Philadelphia. I grew up in Philadelphia in the 60s. She was Roman Catholic, or still is to this day. She's 102.
Oh my goodness.
And she would drag 15 kids to church, all the kids who lived in the neighborhood. Mm. And it started there. And I would say it continued throughout my life through elementary school and high school, college. Mm-hmm. God chasing me and me saying, I'm having too much fun. I really don't want to do this. And falling and hitting rock bottom and then getting back up and getting closer and closer. I think what happened was in Puerto Rico, when I lived there for a time, I heard a really terrible singing group. It was a church, a Lutheran church. I had a pound of bread under one arm and the newspaper under the other, and I kind of looked. It was, the door was wide open, and everyone turned around and looked at me and smiled and came out, invited me in. I sat down, and there's 10 more years of being chased by God. And then I came back to Philly after that time in Puerto Rico, and it, all over again. I go to a Lutheran church. I work with the kids, work with the community. And I said, I'm going to take a really good Bible study. Mm-hmm. And the pastor there, Pastor Patrick Cabello Hanso, said to me, "Ay, Maritza, why don't you go to seminary?" And I'm like, "What?" Mm-hmm. And in 1998, I went to seminary. And that's where I met my husband. We adopted our two boys. And we moved to Allentown. And I met people. So, yeah, it's a journey. And what was the other part of the question?
What do you see the role of the church in building community in the neighborhoods?
The church, not revolving doors, but wide open doors. Mm. The church has to be open to the community, no matter what. And talk to people, you know. I don't go down the street without saying hello to people, even if they don't respond. Say hello to your neighbors. Get to know them. It took me 10 years to get one of my neighbors to come into St. Stephen's, but I always kept inviting her and meet the children, meet the people. You have to stay open.
Mm, love that. So many questions, but and Pastor Angela, can we hear a little bit about your story?
Sure. I grew up in the church, but never had a desire to be a pastor, certainly. I was working as an occupational therapist at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and that's where I experienced a sense of community and even faith. Community building outside of the church walls, but it was genuine, honest, authentic. I was working in the trauma unit, intensive care units, rehab. Mm. And so I was seeing kids go through different faith experiences, no matter what their family situation was, and then just feeling this draw towards well, where is the church in this type of setting, and recognizing that there was community. And also I was like, well, I'm just interested, I have a few questions, maybe I'll go to seminary just for one or two classes. Mm-hmm. And then I was called into youth ministry, and then I realized in my seminary classes that my peers who are pastors have similar experiences in me. And kind of that shoulder tapping of you're more than just a youth leader. Your questions, are good questions, and you should maybe consider doing more seminary. And so I was doing seminary and working, didn't really want to give up my job. Mm-hmm. Because I enjoyed it. And there was faith there, there was community, you're doing good things. I was being able to practice as an occupational therapist. But then the kids continued to have good questions, and I started to really be interested in what does faith formation look like in children that didn't grow up in the church, or children that have families that don't grow up in the church. And that just became something that I was really enjoying and passionate about, and I ended up in Allentown and still really enjoy getting to interact with the kids from all different backgrounds and walks of life and family experiences, and the church can accompany. The church can walk beside and be fun and exciting, and get them to imagine and be curious. And that's what the children are so good at, and what we need to learn from them. And so that's something that I really enjoy. And I think children are gifts to the community. Mm-hmm. And we see that all throughout scripture. And I see that in churches too, when we, when we don't have children in the church, that we recognize that there's something wrong. When the children are in the church, sometimes we have to learn some things. And I certainly value, church should not be boring, right? As a child, we want to learn, we want to grow, we want to be curious, because kids are having experiences of God. I learned that early on in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Whether they're grown up in the church, whether their parents are part of the church, they're having experiences with God. And so what a joy, what an honor it is to be able to walk alongside kids in their own journey with God, and in the very early stages. That's been my joy, and that's my story.
That's great. And I think you kind of got at that with the kids, but anything else you would add about the role of faith-based communities and building a sense of community?
Just that children are part of our communities and they're assets to our communities and our churches. Mm-hmm. And so how can we walk alongside them so that they are, we're doing our responsibility to nurture them as well as learning from them and making sure that our spaces are places of welcome for kids who are part of mm-hmm. our communities and families, because families are part of our communities. Mm-hmm. We need them and they need us.
Absolutely. Pastor Daniela, you want to bring us home?
Sure. Yeah, I think for me, my sense of call to ministry, I would describe as like an outward call and an inward call. So when I was in junior high and high school, I started to get involved with the worship team, helping to lead Bible studies. And there was adults in my home congregation that recognized my interests, some of my gifts. And so that's what I would describe as kind of this outward call. People, adults, mentors were affirming different gifts that they saw in me and were encouraging me to try those, to participate, to work on my leadership skills. And so, well, at that time I thought, you know, I see other adults helping in the church, but they're not pastors, so maybe that's what I'll do. I'm happy to do that. But it wasn't until I got more involved with our youth group, took some youth ministry classes. You know, there's something special and sacred when you enter people or enter into people's lives or moments in their lives when they are troubled, when they're dealing with something very difficult. Talking to different youth or people, you know, visiting kind of pastoral care, visiting them in the hospital, and just having that sense of God's presence in that moment and the way that I saw God working in their life and the way that the Holy Spirit could be working through me. That's when I started to process and wrestle, even with senses of maybe unworthiness of like, why would God call me like to this? That was my inward call that I had to wrestle with. That sense that God was equipping and preparing me to do something, and that other leaders of faith that I respected were affirming those gifts. And so I think now today, as we think about faith communities, whether here in Allentown or, you know, across the globe, what it means to help create a sense of belonging. I think faith-based communities give a sense of purpose, give a sense of community. Even though we're imperfect at it at different times, I think helping people understand who they are, who they were created to be. There's so many messages out there in the world that we're not enough, we're not worthy. We don't belong, that if the church leans into that gospel, that affirmation of our dignity, our worth, and with a sense of purpose, that really helps to create belonging, where people feel seen, they feel whole, and yeah, there's a sense of connection with the divine, a connection with other people.
Absolutely. So interesting to hear four such different stories, but all leading you to the same place. And a lot of you touched on this idea of having doors open, being welcomed, that first interaction that people sometimes have with the church. So when someone walks into Ripple Church, what do you hope that they feel in that first interaction?
Do you want to start again, Pastor Shirley?
Sure. So when people walk into Ripple Church, I hope that they feel welcomed first. And then as they settle in, I hope that they feel a sense of belonging, a sense of being heard, a sense of safety. Many churches don't welcome everyone. We look at people and we judge the appearances. But I want people to come into Ripple no matter who they are, no matter what diverse communities they come from, that they all feel welcome and all feel a sense of belonging. So yeah, that's what I hope from Ripple.
We often describe belonging as being seen, valued, and needed, which some churches do really well, and you just mentioned this yourself, some struggle to create that culture. So how do you move from welcoming people to inviting them into shared life and shared responsibility within the church?
I'll share my story. In 2004, I was called to St. Stephen's as their pastor. And about a year into my call, maybe a year and a half, as I was leaving the church, I was loading my car with all my bags. I heard the kids swinging and playing in the park right behind the church. And I looked at them, and it was a hot day. And I yelled at them. I said, "Are you thirsty?" And they looked at me and they said, "Yeah, Pastor." So I went downstairs. I got some lemonade and I saw some cookies, lemon cookies. It was a lemon day. And so I grabbed that and I grabbed some cups and I went out. The kids ate and they drank lemonade and we talked. And then I found Checkers, you know, from Crackle Barrel. And we went out and played. And so for me, being able to connect with others and the children, we've heard a lot about children here, is very important for me. When you connect with the children, you eventually connect with their parents or their aunts or their abuelitas or their nanas. And so that's a really important piece of ministry for me, and that started at St. Stephen's, and it's continued on with ripples and to all the people in the community.
It ripples out.
It ripples out.
Something I think that's unique at Ripple Church is we often share about, everybody has a gift to share. We all need each other, and so the name of the church is Ripple because God pours love and grace into us, and then we want to ripple that out into our community. And so right from the get-go, when you walk in, and maybe your first day there, but you could be asked to light a candle, or you could, at least we will close standing in a circle with prayer. You don't have to pray, but you're going to stand in the circle. And so we always have a meal. And so even just eating together, we just try to create lots of different ways for people to share what gifts they offer, what they have to offer, because we know that everybody has something special and unique to offer. And as we build relationships with people and get to know their stories, people are amazing. People have wonderful stories. And it's kind of the privilege that we get to offer them ways to share those gifts with the church. And so that just kind of creates that space where we need each other and everybody has a gift to share.
That sacred place. It becomes a sacred place of moment and connection.
I think you basically answered the next question, which is, you know, they're anchors. Churches are anchors in the neighborhood, and they're places of gathering, they're places of connection and support. Why do you think faith-based spaces are often to play that role so effectively? Do you have any thoughts on that, Pastor Dinola?
When we were in the car on the way over here, we were talking about just thinking about our vision statement for Ripple Church. So Ripple is a transformative, community-based church for everyone. And we have really, along with different group partnerships, really been focusing on Franklin Park neighborhood. And even we had been in that building for a while, and when Christ Lutheran or St. Stephen's, right, had approached us about purchasing the building that we're in, we recognized that Ripple Church had been pretty transient, like most of our congregants, but we wanted to be an anchor in that. We wanted to have a permanent place where we could have an effective presence in the community. We wanted to collaborate with other partnerships, right, other faith-based or non-faith-based. Like, we wanted to be in the community, about the community, caring for the community. And that's been important to who we are. I think some of that comes from our understanding of the gospel, that Jesus came to be among the people, set up camp, and was witnessing and loving and serving other people. And so that's what we want to reflect and to be about. And when people, especially those who are part of Ripple Church, know that they have a place that they can always come to. We have people who have, because of addiction, substance abuse, mental health, maybe they've gone away to a facility. Maybe it's been for a couple of months. Maybe it's been years. We've had different members, right, that we can think about. They left. They were outside of our community. They came back. They know they could come to us. Mm-hmm. They know they knew where to find us. They knew they'd be welcomed and remembered. And that's important for people to have that stability and that sense of belonging.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Something you said, transformative, community-based.
Church for
everyone. Church for everyone. That's a powerful statement. Mm-hmm. And unique, right, amongst, mm-hmm. I think, faith-based communities in some way. And so I think something that you all have gotten at a little bit, and this starts to bring us to the Franklin Park neighborhood, but you seamlessly go back and forth between residents in the community and people who attend your church and who come to services there. And there's this, I would say, open boundary across those two, right? That it's not just about who goes to services at Ripple Church or a part of your congregation, but that you do serve as an anchor for the whole community, regardless of what their faith is, what religion they're a part of, or whether they're religious at all. And so this started even before Ripple Church. St. Stephen's served in this role before Ripple Church is what it is today. And when for those who aren't familiar with Franklin Park, the park itself, Franklin Park, has the benefit of having this beautiful church right on the outskirts of it. And then you all, as pastors at that church, essentially serve as stewards of that neighborhood in some ways, right? Because you have the eyes and ears there and you are an open space. How do you think about the relationships being responsive to that neighborhood? How has it evolved over time for you as you've been there longer and longer?
Charlene.
Pastor Melton, this is your Pastor Melton wisdom.
Yes, and so first I think about Pastor Maritza and her invitation for us to come and be there. And I say that was so powerful because she understood passing the torch. Mm-hmm. And so somebody has to pass the torch so that Franklin Park continues to live because it's the community that we as pastors serve. And this statement that my previous pastor always told us when we were on the corner of 6 and Chew, mm-hmm. And he said, we have to justify being on this corner. And so I think that we, as a faith-based community, we do our best to justify being on that corner. And again, as I said, Pastor Maritza has done such a great job at making sure that that torch has been passed. Mm-hmm. And when we think about this work that's being done here in Franklin Park right now, it excites me mm-hmm. because I see a community that's coming alive again, not just because of the faith-based community that we have there, but the partners that have come alongside of us. And so we get the opportunity to listen to people. We get the opportunity to walk beside people. We get the opportunity to just see that life that happens when people come together and do what it is that we are called to do, which is love. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This may get cut from what airs, but I do want to come back to the lemon thing a little bit. There's this theme of lemons that has happened over this as well. So can you share a little bit about what the symbolism is there?
When you first asked me, you know, that question, it was just that in my way, I heard what the kids needed. They just needed somebody to play with and be mm-hmm. with them. They needed someone to laugh with them. And I was so excited. I went back in, made some phone calls. I got home late. I couldn't fry those pork chops, but that's okay. But the thing that was so exciting, as mm-hmm. Pastor Charlene said, the children, the mission, is that you can't help but get excited mm-hmm. when you're there with the kids. And working with them and getting in the dirt and going into the community garden. And that day, just a gallon of Turkey Hill lemonade opened and some lemon cookies and a shared time together, swinging and playing checkers. And the next week, I had about 10 people out there in that playground. Mm. And then before you knew it, we had an after-school program that started once a week. The following year, it was twice a week. By year three, it was 4 days a week. 10 years into the whole process, we had a thriving after-school program. Mm-hmm. And all of it was with Ripple. Mm-hmm. You know, they were not in the building yet, but we had connections through the Albrights. Mm-hmm. And it just, it felt right. It was just all coming together. Mm-hmm. But the key is time. This doesn't happen overnight. These relationships you build do not happen overnight. And if you're not in for the long haul, then, you know, God bless you. But and I knew that I reached a point where just physically and emotionally, I just couldn't. No, I'm still doing it. But I just knew I needed more help. Yeah. But throughout that process from 2004 to this present day, it's the partnerships, it's the people, it's the organization, it's the parents, it's the families, it's everyone who's participated that made it just an incredible place to be. Mm-hmm. I got the joy. It's
I think more often than not, we hear people, as they've been doing things for a really long time, want to hold on to it even tighter, right? It's harder for them to
open those things. No, you gotta let it go.
The fact that you've been able to do that
is... repeat that. Yeah.
You gotta let it be transformed into something different.
You gotta let it grow.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, it's
and
it's
evolve
not...
to meet what the present is asking for, because the neighbors may change, and they might, their needs might change over time.
Yeah, the community changes constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Such a turnover, but there's still core people who live there, who still remember, who still say, you know, we've always been there.
Yeah.
And you keep inviting them. Yeah. Even if it takes 10 years for them to come in, you just keep inviting them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about that when you release it.
It's just
the children, like the Bike Works kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, they know that the hand is open for them to receive that torch and to continue to carry on the work that's being done in Franklin Park. And so that will always be a healthy community as long as somebody continues to pass that torch. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's great. So as we wrap up today, because this conversation went fast, Ripple offers a powerful example of what belonging can look like. Relationships, shared responsibility, not just programming, right?
Yes. Absolutely. And it reminds us that civic muscle is built over time, not in response to something urgent, but that it's intentional and that slowly, built over time, it can really be deepened and be shared across the whole community. Any last things that we didn't get to that you'd want to share about what you have seen as you've been at different churches and now at Ripple Church, about, you know, where it works really well, where faith-based community meets community, the general community, in developing that sense of belonging?
What I've seen with my Ripple people, they're Ripplers. They're strong. They're brave. They're not afraid of getting their hands dirty, or they're not afraid of messy situations. They know that the work they're doing can be painful at times, because I want to wrap people up and just make them better and change them and take them home and feed them. But it's a relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you just walk with the people. Mm-hmm. You walk with them.
Yeah. We're grateful to all of our pastors, Maritza, Charlene, Danilo, Angela. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your leadership in Franklin Park.
And as we continue our season of Belonging, Civic Muscle in Action, we'll keep exploring how places like Ripple help to create conditions for people and communities to thrive.
For myself, Margaret McConnell, and Samantha Schock, thank you for listening to the Wellbeing Report. Until next time, be well and stay connected.
This has been the Wellbeing Report on WDIY. Thank you for listening. This episode and others are archived and available online at lppih.org and on wdiy.org, and also can be accessed on your favorite podcast streaming platform.